الله أكبر. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك تعالى. الحمد لله رب الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the Darus al-Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله وشاقوا الرسول من بعد ما تبين لهم الهدى لن يضروا الله شيئا وسيحبط أعمالهم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول ولا تبطلوا أعمالكم إن الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله ثم ماتوا وهم كفار فلن يغفر الله لهم فلا تهنوا وتدعوا إلى السلم وأنتم الأعلون والله معكم ولن يتركم أعمالكم صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته إن الذين كفروا Indeed, those who commit kufr وصدوا عن سبيل الله and who forbid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path. وَشَاقُوا الرَّسُولَ and who oppose the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَى after guidance has been made clear to them. لَن يَدُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا cannot harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. وَسَيُحْبِطُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will soon cancel their actions. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O believers, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهُ Obey Allah. وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ And obey the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ And do not invalidate your good deeds. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Indeed, those who commit kufr. وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ And who forbid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path. ثُمَّ مَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ And then die as kuffar. فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ Allah ta'ala shall never forgive them. فَلَا تَهِنُوا So, O Muslims, do not lose courage. وَتَدْعُوا إِلَى السَّلْمِ And do not call for a truce. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ And you will be dominant. وَاللَّهُ مَعَكُمْ And Allah Ta'ala is with you. وَلَنْ يَتِرَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ And will never devalue your deeds. We continue with the commentary of Surah Muhammad. And we have reached verse number 32. Mention is being made of the munafiqun, the hypocrites. From some narrations, it can be understood that together with the munafiqun and the hypocrites, the recipients of this particular ayah are also the two Jewish tribes, Banu Qurayza and likewise Banu Nadir. And according to Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah, a third recipient of this particular ayah are those 12 leaders who are also extremely wealthy, who had taken it upon themselves to facilitate the food and the meals during the Battle of Badr for the disbelievers. So there were 1,000 soldiers in the army of the non-Muslims. So these 12 individuals, they said to these soldiers that as far as your food is concerned, you have nothing to worry about. You exert all your effort on the battlefield in trying to defeat the Muslims, and we will look after your food arrangements. And these 12 individuals, daily they would take turns, one by one, that today is my turn, so today I will provide the food for the 1,000 soldiers. So according to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, they are also the recipients of this ayah. And all of them are correct. It's not that you only have to take one opinion and leave the others. So it refers to the munafiqun, the hypocrites also. It refers to the Jewish tribes of Banu Qurayza and Banu Nadir also. And it refers to these individuals who had taken it upon themselves to feed the soldiers of the non-Muslim army in the Battle of Badr. And together with this, it also refers to all the non-Muslims and the disbelievers until the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, indeed those who disbelieve, who commit kufr, وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and who forbid others from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path, meaning from Islam. And this rejection, this kufr of theirs, and likewise this preventing from Islam of theirs, is due to the endeavor of opposing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, وَشَاقُوا الرَّسُولَ, and who oppose the Rasul, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they're opposing the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not due to their ignorance. It's not that they do not know what is correct and what is incorrect. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَى, that after guidance, meaning Tawheed and the truth of Islam, has been made clear to them. Because many of them, they were from the Ahl Kitab. They were from the people of the book. They either belonged to the Christians or the Jews. So they had already studied in their previous divine books that soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send the final prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are going to be his signs. So for them, it was very easy to identify when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them that this is the final prophet of Allah Ta'ala. And thereafter, during their lifetime, Quran was being revealed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting the Quran in their presence. He was, through his teachings, explaining to them Tawheed. He was explaining to them that he is the Prophet of Allah. He was explaining to them Quran is the book of Allah. So everything was clear cut for them. But despite of this, they decided to oppose Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they committed kufr. They prevented others from Islam. They opposed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they did all of this not due to ignorance, but rather after hidayah, was very clear cut. So Allah Ta'ala says, لَنْ يَدُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Do they think that they can harm Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? لَنْ يَدُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. They will never be able to harm Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Rather, in reality, they are only harming themselves. وَسَيُحْبِتُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will soon cancel their actions. Now, this has two tafsirs. The first tafsir is, وَسَيُحْبِتُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala will cancel, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will eradicate all of their actions. What this means is that the disbelievers, they have taken it upon themselves to try and remove Islam from the face of this earth. Right from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the present day. If we study how the people in the world are behaving with the religion of Islam, then you will find that in every era, this is the main motive, that how can we take Islam out? So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is saying, وَسَيُحْبِتُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. We will cancel out their actions. What this means is that all of their conspiracies and all of their plans will fail. No matter how much effort they exert in trying to remove Islam from the face of this earth, they are not going to be successful in this. They can exert as much effort as they want to. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will not let them succeed in this. And it's been 1500 years now. So by now, in 1500 years, if we look at all the efforts there have been to try and remove Islam from the face of this earth, to try and remove the Quran, to try and tarnish the reputation of Islam or tarnish the reputation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But despite of all of these efforts, we find that from all the religions, Islam is the religion which is thriving the most. Even during this time when it is an era of degeneration, we may not be as strong as we are supposed to be from a dini aspect, from a religious aspect. We are not practicing upon the religion as much as we are supposed to. Our connection with Islam is not as strong as it's supposed to. But even during this era of degeneration, we see that if a religion is thriving, then it is Islam. No other religion can match the religion of Islam. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran more than 1500 years ago. And this is what the Urdu poet has depicted in his words when he says that Musalmano na ghabrao, khuda ki shan baki hai, abhi Islam zinda hai, abhi Quran baki hai. That, O Muslims, you have nothing to fear. There is no need for you to fear when you hear about somebody trying to delete Islam from the face of this earth. If you hear an isolated incident and somebody is trying to burn the Quran, on this side, one individual will try to burn one copy of the Quran. On this side, Allah Ta'ala will prepare another 1,000 hufaz of the Quran. This is Islam. Islam was not established to be erased. Islam was established to remain until the day of Qiyamah. Quran was not revealed to be erased. Quran was revealed to remain till the day of Qiyamah. Somebody will depict a cartoon of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will think that through this I will be able to tarnish his reputation and remove Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings from the face of this earth. But it has a complete opposite effect. And the non-Muslims think to themselves that who is this individual that even after 1500 years, after he has left the world, people are still trying to draw cartoons regarding him. So they will study his life, and when they will study his life, they will realize that there has been no greater human than him who Allah Ta'ala has sent in the world. So وَسَيُحْبِتُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ Allah Ta'ala says that all of their efforts which they are exerting to try and remove Islam from the face of this earth, we will cancel all of their actions. This is one tafsir of this ayah. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى Allah Ta'ala says that He is the one who has sent His Rasul with guidance, وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ and with the true religion, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ so that Islam may prevail over all the other religions, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ even if the kafirun dislike it. They can dislike it as much as they want. And they can try as hard as they want to try and remove Islam from the face of this earth. But Allah Ta'ala says, لِيُظْهِرَهُ we will make it prevail over all other religions. So, وَسَيُحْبِتُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ the first tafsir is that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will cancel all of their efforts which they are exerting to try and remove Islam from the face of this earth. And وَسَيُحْبِتُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ the second tafsir is that whatever good deeds the disbelievers will carry out during the lifetime, they may do a lot of charity work. They may even do certain types of ibadah and worship, which according to them, they are worshipping whichever God they believe in. Their kindness and their courtesy towards other human beings. Whatever good deeds they carry out. Because they are leaving this world without iman, then all of their good deeds in the akhirah will also be deleted. They will gain nothing in Jannah. They will gain no reward for this. So in summary, Allah Ta'ala is saying that even in this world, Allah Ta'ala is going to destroy all of their actions. And even in the akhirah, Allah Ta'ala is going to destroy all of their actions. So for them is failure in this world also. And for them is failure in the akhirah also. This is regarding the disbelievers. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now addresses the people of Iman, the believers, you and I. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O believers, O those who have Iman. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تُبْتِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ and do not invalidate, do not spoil your good deeds. Here Allah Ta'ala is telling us to do one thing and Allah Ta'ala is telling us to refrain from one thing. We are being told to obey Allah and obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason why this is so important is Allah Ta'ala begins the verse by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O those who have iman. So, O those who have iman. Now, iman is extremely important. Without iman, it is not possible for a person to enter Jannah, as we have just seen in the previous ayah. So to enter Jannah, you will have to have iman. Now you have this iman. But how do you preserve this iman? How do you ensure that you leave this world with this iman? And you don't leave this iman behind? This is very important. This is why all of our pious predecessors, they used to ensure, or rather they used to remain very concerned with regards to this fact that iman remains preserved. I don't lose this iman. Hazrat Hakim Fakhruddin Rahmatullahi Alayh, one of the great saints of the past, he used to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he used to say to Allah that, "Oh Allah, I am not even able to look after my keys." Many people will experience that they misplace the keys. People like me. And then we have to go look around that where did I put my keys? You get in trouble at home also, that you can't even look after a bunch of keys. Some people can't look after their phone. So these simple things, we can't look after them. We misplace them. Sometimes it's in our pocket and we go look around the whole house and then we realize it was in my pocket. So Hazrat Hakim Fakhruddin would speak to Allah Ta'ala. This is another quality which we don't possess. And we don't speak with Allah. First of all, we don't make dua. Those who do make dua, then the dua is parrot fashion. You raise your hands and you just say, "Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah." You're not asking for anything. You're just praying. In dua, you need to speak to Allah Ta'ala. So he would speak to Allah and he would say to Allah that, "Oh Allah, I can't even look after my keys. And you have given me a great gift of iman. How am I supposed to look after this gift of iman? As far as my keys are concerned, there's no thief who is trying to take these keys. It's my own fault that I just misplaced them. But as far as iman is concerned, there's a great thief who is shaitan. And shaitan has made this his mission that at all times, I have to somehow try and take this iman away from this person before he leaves this world. So, oh Allah, I am handing over my iman to you. And you have mentioned in the Quran that when somebody entrusts you with one of their valuables and thereafter they come and ask for it, then you should return that trust back to them. So at the time of death, O Allah, that is when I will be most in need of this iman. So I am handing it over to you and I am telling you that at the time of death, you return it back to me so that I can come to you with this iman." So this was the concern they had with regards to their iman. They were always fearful. They never thought to themselves that I am so pious. Everybody in the locality looks at me and knows that I am pious. I know that I don't disobey Allah Ta'ala. So for me, Jannah is guaranteed. They always remain fearful. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala here is telling us that if you want to preserve your iman, then you have to do two things. Obey Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and obey Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now the question arises, that why did Allah Ta'ala here mention obey Allah and obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because the two are the same. If somebody obeys Allah, automatically he is obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if someone obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, automatically he is obeying Allah Ta'ala also. Both are the same. Allah Ta'ala says, "Wama yantiqu anil hawa." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never speaks from his whims and his fancies, from his own desires. In huwa illa wahyu yuha. Whatever he says is wahy and revelation. May yuti illah wa may yuti ir rasul faqad ata' Allah. He who obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has obeyed Allah. Because both are the same. They both tell us to do the same things. They both tell us to refrain from the same things. So why was there a need to mention both? So one answer which the commentators of the Quran have given is that by mentioning Ati'ur Rasul also after Ati'ullah, this was to lay emphasis. Because normally we receive the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala through Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We cannot see Allah Ta'ala. We cannot hear Allah Ta'ala. So when we receive the command from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are being told that this command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam It's not his command. This is the command of Allah Ta'ala. So do not think that because it's from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not as important. And a second answer which has been given is that as far as the commands of Allah Ta'ala are concerned, then there are two types. Some commands are clear cut. For example, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, that establish salah. So it's very clear that we are being told to perform salah. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, give zakah. Very clear. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, be dutiful to your parents. These are all clear cut commands. But in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has also mentioned in many places principles. Now when a principle is mentioned, you will have to resort to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he will explain to us the branches of these principles. And many commands will then branch out from these principles. So a person should not think to himself that because this is something which is in the hadith, or this is something which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, and nowhere in the Quran can I find this, so it's not that important. This is why there is a group of individuals in the world who like to label themselves as Ahlul Quran. It sounds very good that we are the people of the Quran. We are the people of the Quran. And what do they mean by this? What they mean by this is that we only will follow the Quran. As far as hadith is concerned, we don't care about hadith. It's just Quran. So we ask them straight away that you perform two rakats Fajr Salah. Where in the Quran are you going to find that you have to perform two rakats Fajr Salah? These are the times of Fajr Salah. This is the beginning time. This is the ending time. This is how you have to raise your hands. You go into ruku. You go into two sajda. Can you take all this out from the Quran and show us? Just this one example. Forget everything else that you do. So as good as it may sound, but it doesn't make sense. You cannot practice upon the deen by just looking at the Quran. The first explanation of the Quran is the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because you and I are not masters in these fields, we cannot even understand the Quran ourselves, and we cannot even understand the ahadith ourselves. You know, simply reading a translation or even a commentary or an explanation of a verse of the Quran or a hadith is not sufficient to understand the deen. A person has to master so many different sciences before he can even think of trying to understand the deen directly from the Quran or the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These individuals who are masters in this field, they had dedicated their entire lives to this. And today, people think that they can just do a quick Google search and they are on the same level as Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. This is why the safest option, or rather the only option, is that you have to follow one of the four schools of thought. You either follow the school of thought of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh, or Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh. Because Allah Ta'ala had granted these four individuals such insight with regards to the Quran and ahadith that they were able to dive into these oceans and take out those pearls, which you and I will never be able to do so. Unless in this day and age somebody reaches that level of ijtihad. Now what is ijtihad? What is mujtahid? I'm not going to go into none of that. Let's just say that it's not for us. So anyway, coming back to, I was mentioning that there are two types of Allah Ta'ala's commands. So the second type are the principles. That the principles are mentioned in the Quran, Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned all the branches. So this is why, Ati'ullah, obey Allah, and obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will have to resort to Quran also, and you will have to resort to Ahadith also. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions that, وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ, to the believers, to the mu'minun. That, وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ, do not invalidate and do not spoil your good deeds. Now, how does a person spoil his good deeds? The first method is through kufr, disbelief. A person carries out many good deeds during his lifetime. But thereafter, he turns away from Islam and he becomes a kafir. All the good that he has done previously, he has spoiled. He is not going to gain any reward for this. وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ, that person who turns away from his deen, from his religion. وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ, and he dies in the state that he is a kafir. فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will invalidate all of their good deeds in this dunya and in the akhirah. They will gain nothing. So one is kufr. Number two. The second way a person invalidates the good deeds that he has carried out is by committing sins. And the reason for this is that when a person commits sins and these sins begin to accumulate, then this could lead a person to kufr. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبِ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى. Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that refrain from all sins, whether they are minor or whether they are major. Refrain from all sins. Why? لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحِصَى. He says, do not undermine a minor sin. Do not think to yourself that it's only one small sin that I'm going to commit. Do not think that it's only one sin. The mountains that you see, they are an accumulation of small, small rocks or small, small pebbles. So just as small rocks, when accumulated, they turn into a very huge mountain. If a person keeps thinking to himself that these are only sins, or these are only small sins, it's only one sin, these sins will continue to grow and accumulate, and very soon they could grow to this extent that you have a whole mountain of sins, and this mountain of sins turns into kufr. So a person's iman, he could lose this iman, and he could become a kafir before he leaves the world. Number three. The third way in which a person can destroy his good deeds is by carrying out certain sins which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. For example, in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِيَّاكَ وَالْحَسَدْ, beware of jealousy. So refrain from being jealous. Why? فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ, jealousy will consume your good deeds. كَمَا يَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبِ, just as fire consumes firewood. So if a person has this trait of jealousy in him, when he looks at other people, if he feels jealous, this jealousy is such a trait that if a person does not get rid of this jealousy and he does not cure his heart from jealousy, and he continues to harbor jealousy, then due to this one trait of jealousy, all of his good deeds will be removed. This is how evil this trait of jealousy is. So a person should think to himself, when he sees somebody who is better than him in whatever he is comparing himself to, then he should think to himself that this, what this person has, is from Allah Ta'ala. Normally, when you are in the same field, then you feel jealous. If there are two doctors, then they will begin to compete with one another. So one will think to himself that he is prospering more than me. Two brothers, so one has a better house, the other one, his house is not as good. Now he will feel jealous that why is his house so good? Why is my house not like this? His children are so obedient and my children are not obedient. So this trait of jealousy has to be cured. If the trait of jealousy is not cured, then this jealousy is only going to increase. Allah Ta'ala mentions, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسِ Do people harbor jealousy? عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ Upon that which Allah Ta'ala has given people through His own grace. So when you feel jealous of somebody, in reality, you are questioning Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, why have you given him this? Why haven't you given it to me? So jealousy. Likewise, one example from the Quran, that when you give charity, then after giving charity to somebody, after helping somebody, to remind them of that charitable act, you assist somebody in making a house in a poor country. And then after a few years, something happens. So in front of everybody, you say to him that, do you remember who bought this house for you? So Allah Ta'ala says, لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. That do not destroy your charity by reminding the person that it was me who gave you this charity. And this will cause him great inconvenience. So these sort of actions, they also destroy one's good deeds. So it's very important that a person refrains from these type of sins also. And thereafter, two more points. One is that that action that you carry out, it has to be in accordance to the sunnah. Otherwise, again, that action will be destroyed. You will gain nothing in return. A person, instead of performing two rakats of Fajr, he decides to perform three rakats. So from the outset, it seems as though he's carrying out a good deed. He's performing three rakats of Salah inside the masjid. He will be able to say also that I have performed three rakats of Salah. But he's going to get nothing because it's supposed to be two rakats, not three rakats. The action has to be the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us. It has to be in accordance to the sunnah. And number two, it has to be with ikhlas, with sincerity. The action has to be only to please Allah Ta'ala. So a person performs the two rakats and he performs it exactly the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us. But inside his intention is that I want people to think that look how pious he is. He is performing his salah in the front saf. Again, this action, ibtal, is going to be cancelled. There will be no reward. So it has to be in accordance to sunnah also, and the action has to also be done with the correct intention, with ikhlas, with sincerity, only to please Allah Ta'ala. So two things are being mentioned. One is that don't destroy your actions through kufr. Preserve your iman. And number two, don't destroy your actions by committing a sin or making the action contrary to the sunnah or practicing without ikhlas and without sincerity. And after these two tafsirs, there is also a third tafsir with regards to this. وَلَا تُبْتِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ That do not invalidate your good deeds. And under this tafsir, there is then a difference of opinion amongst the four fuqaha. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, they are on one side. And Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, they are on the other side. And that tafsir is that when a person begins a good deed, if it's farz or wajib, for example, you start your 4 rakats of Asr Salah, the farz Asr Salah, 3 rakats of Maghrib, farz. So you begin the good deed. Now once you begin the good deed, you have to complete that good deed. If halfway through Salah you decide to leave that Salah, if you have no excuse, you will be sinful. And number two, you will have to perform that Salah also. And if you have an excuse, you won't be sinful, but you still have to perform your Salah again. That's regarding farz and wajib. Regarding farz and wajib, there's no difference of opinion. The difference of opinion is when the action is nafal, optional. So somebody begins 2 rakats of optional Salah, or he begins an optional fast, or he begins an optional Umrah, or he begins an optional Hajj. Now in these 4, Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi say that once you begin the optional act, now it becomes necessary for you to complete it. So the fast was optional before you began. But once you started, now there's no U-turn. Now you have to go until Maghrib. And if you decide halfway through that I want to break it, it's only an optional fast. If there's no excuse, you will be sinful also. And in either case, excuse or no excuse, you will have to now keep one fast. The same goes in optional Salah, optional Umrah, optional Hajj. And Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, when it comes to Salah, fasting, and Umrah, they say that it's not necessary because it's nafal, it's optional anyway. So it remains optional even after you begin it. So halfway through, if you decide that I no longer want to carry on with this action, you can break it and you will not be sinful and there will be no need to do qada later also. But when it comes to Hajj, then they are with us. In Hajj, they say that if it's an optional Hajj and once you begin the optional Hajj, now it's necessary to complete it. Now, what is our proof and what is their proof? So as far as what is their proof, we will say to them that you will have to tell us what your proof is. As far as our proof is, then Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi say that our proof is this ayah of the Quran. That Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَلَا تُبْتِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ, and do not invalidate your good deeds. So from here, Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi have derived that not only in farz and wajib, but even in nafal acts, if you begin the action, you are not allowed to invalidate it, you must now complete it. So from this explanation, you will have gained a very slight understanding of how the fuqaha are able to deduce masail from the verses of the Quran. Now just think for a while, that would any one of us even be able to do what Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi did here? Our mind wouldn't even go there. So that's where the field of fiqh is so important. That you have Quran, you have hadith, but because Quran and hadith, just reading the text is not sufficient, these fuqaha and these jurists, Allah Ta'ala gave them that special insight that they were able to deduce such rulings and they have placed them in front of us. Now all we have to do is take that and practice upon it. And together with this proof from the Quran, there is also a proof from the hadith. The proof from the hadith is that once Aisha radiallahu anha and Safiya radiallahu anha, they were both fasting. Now it was an optional fast. And obviously during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sharia was still being formed. So during the day, they decided to break their fast. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out that they were fasting, and now they have broken their fast, The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them both that iqdiya, do qadha. So from there we can also deduce that if someone breaks an optional fast, he will have to do qadha. So both proofs, one from the Quran and one from the hadith. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, verily those who commit kufr, وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and who forbid others from Allah Ta'ala's path, ثُمَّ مَاتُوا, and then die, وَهُمْ كُفَّار, as kuffar, فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ, Allah Ta'ala shall never forgive them. Now, if you remember, just before this ayah, something very similar was mentioned. In verse number 31, Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, verily those who commit kufr and who prevent people from Allah Ta'ala's path. And now, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So why is the same thing being mentioned again? Is there repetition here or not? This is a question which the Mufassirin have raised. So they say, no, there's a difference. And two differences have been mentioned. The first difference which has been mentioned is that in verse number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning with regards to the dunya and this world, that those who disbelieve and prevent others from Islam, then Allah ta'ala will destroy their actions in this world. And now in this ayah, Allah ta'ala is saying, فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ, that in the akhirah, in the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala will most definitely not forgive them. There is no chance they will be forgiven by Allah. And when they will not be forgiven, they will go into Jahannam. And according to a second tafsir, in the first ayah, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is speaking about those people who initially were disbelievers and then they brought iman. So Allah Ta'ala is saying to them, all that time when you are a kafir and a disbeliever, all the good deeds that you carried out, all those good deeds are going to be erased. You're going to get no reward for that. Yes, after iman, whatever good deeds you carried out, Allah Ta'ala will reward you. And in this ayah, Allah Ta'ala is now speaking about that person who remains a kafir until the time of death. So he never becomes a mu'min. Regarding such people, Allah Ta'ala is saying, لَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ, Allah Ta'ala will never forgive such people. Because they have died as a kafir, there is no way they will be able to enter Jannah, and for them will be Jahannam. And now finally, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala once again addresses the mu'minun and the believers. That فَلَا تَهِنُوا, O Muslims, do not lose courage. So do not lose courage when it comes to fighting against the kuffar, and overall when you see how the events in the world are between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, then many believers, they will lose courage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us that فَلَا تَهِنُوا, O Muslims, do not lose courage. وَتَدَعُوا إِلَى السَّلْمِ, and do not call for a truce. Do not call for a truce. What does this mean? What this means is that do not call for a truce, meaning peace, merely to avoid jihad because of your cowardice. So one is that a person, he calls for a truce. The Muslims, they call for a truce with the non-Muslims. But they actually believe deep down that at this particular moment, the best interest for the Muslims and Islam is that we call for a truce with the enemy. So in such a case, you are not being told that in every case you have to practice upon this. No, it depends on the circumstances. This is why the opposite of this Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in another place, that وَإِن جَنَحُوا لِسَّلْمِ, that if the disbelievers, if they incline towards peace, then fajnah laha, you also incline towards peace. So even there, it's the same thing. That it shouldn't be with this in mind, that this is good now, we won't have to fight. They're asking for peace, so let's also say peace and let's just move on. No, you will have to look at the circumstance. That for Muslims and for Islam, is it in their best interest to fight in this particular scenario, or is it in the best interest to call for peace and a truce? So Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَلَا تَهِنُوا, do not lose courage, وَتَدْعُوا إِلَى السَّلْمِ, and do not call for a truce. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, and you will be dominant over the kuffar and the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this promise in the Quran. In another place Allah ta'ala says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا, do not lose hope. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and do not grieve. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, you will be dominant. So the believers have been told that they will be dominant over the disbelievers. And the reason why the believers will always be dominant over the disbelievers is, وَاللَّهُ مَعَكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Allah ta'ala is not with the disbelievers. Allah ta'ala is with the believers. So yes, it may seem at certain times that the non-Muslims have the upper hand over the Muslims. But this is only a phase in the battle. Even if an entire battle is won by the non-Muslims, that entire battle is not the entire battle. The entire battle is until the day of Qiyamah. That's only one round. So if a boxer falls down in round 1, round 2, round 3, round 4, but he keeps getting up before the count of 10, nobody will say that he has failed. It depends what happens after round 12. And round 12 is Qiyamah. And before Qiyamah, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will destroy Dajjal. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, O Muslims, you will be dominant, you will be victorious, and you will win. All you have to worry about is in kuntum mu'minin, that you are from the mu'minin and the believers. It's impossible for a person to be from the kuffar and gain victory. And it's impossible for a person to be from the mu'minun and be defeated. Even if a mu'min is killed, this is not defeat, because where is he going? He's going straight to Jannah. So in the eyes of the kuffar, it may seem that he's been defeated. But as a Muslim, you will say that he's gone to Jannah, so how can you say he's been defeated? And the kafir, despite killing thousands of people, in the eyes of the world, it may seem that he's victorious. But if he's leaving the world with kufr, and he's leaving the world with murder on his shoulders, he's going straight to Jahannam. So how can you say he's victorious? So وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us that during these turbulent times also, with what's happening in Palestine, for example, if a person will look at these events with the lenses of Quran, then he will never let this thought cross his mind that the Muslims are being defeated. And he will never let this thought cross his mind that the non-Muslims are victorious. Because it's impossible. These people are on Iman. When they are on Iman, whether in the eyes of the world they are victorious or they are defeated, whether they are killing or they are being killed, in both cases, they are victorious. Because either way, they are going to enter Jannah and Paradise. So, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will be victorious and you will be dominant over the kuffar. وَلَيَّتِرَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never devalue your deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is inviting us to remember this point, that never let this thought cross your mind that if you have less manpower or if you have less resources, then during those times you should become fearful of the enemy. When was this ayah revealed? This ayah was revealed when the believers, they were surrounded in Madinatul Munawwara. The believers were in Madinatul Munawwara, and all the non-Muslims had become one to try and remove Islam from the face of this earth. But during that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it would have been very easy for a person to become despondent, that everybody is against us, and we are the minority. But Allah ta'ala reminded the believers that كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that open the books of history and you will find how many incidents where those who are on Iman, they were very little and very small in number. They only had a few hundred men in their army. They didn't even have the resources. And on the other side, there were thousands, well equipped, all the resources. But in all of these incidents, you see one thing, that through the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that army, which was very small and very little in number, they were able to overpower that army, which was great in number. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again, strengthens our iman with verses like this. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the ayah with the words, وَلَيَّتِرَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ, that Allah ta'ala will never devalue your deeds. Meaning that all the good deeds that you carry out, in the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you great amounts of reward for these good deeds. And according to a second tafsir, because Allah ta'ala here is mentioning that وَاللَّهُ مَعَكُمْ, that you are going to be victorious because Allah is with you. So this question could arise in a person's mind, that when Allah ta'ala is doing everything, then what are we going to gain? So Allah ta'ala is saying, no, I will do everything, I will assist you, I will help you. But because it was you who carried out the good deeds, it was you who exerted the effort, then in the akhirah, I will reward you and you will gain a great amount of reward. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to preserve our iman with the good deeds and carrying out as many good deeds as we possibly can. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to refrain from all those actions which could lead a person to kufr and disbelief. May Allah ta'ala grant us the ability to carry out every good deed in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with ikhlas and with sincerity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to continue making an effort to understand the glorious Quran and recite the glorious Quran, recite it correctly, and the ability to also practice upon whatever we learn. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, we will try to complete the surah in next Saturday's lesson. I think there's 3 ayats remaining, so inshallah, we will try to complete it next week.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سبحان الله سميع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
رحمتك يا رب.